maybe some of you have read it, called Bacon and Beans in a Gold Pan. 40 years ago, now I don't remember much about the book, but I do remember some of the instances that were mentioned in the book. It was during the Depression, a couple making a living wandered the gold chain looking for gold, and they would cash in the gold to make a living because it was hard to get work, things like that. One of the most intriguing instances is when they were down in Mariposa County along the Agua Fria, and they were working along, and of course Randy knows very well looking for gold is very, very hard work and hot in the summer and all those kind of things. And they came across an old ghost town, and they were resting and sitting on a rock foundation just wondering what's going to happen next. And they decided that the foundation they were sitting on was the foundation of a building that had been there and had burned, because they could see the scorched wood and stuff like that that was left. So they thought, well, since we're here, let's just take a look and see what's inside the foundation, which they did. And they got their shovels out and they panned the dirt inside of the foundation. To make a long story short, they found grains of gold, small nuggets, trinkets, a couple old guns, and they found a blob of coins that had melted together. That was a good payday for them. It lasted them many months. And the whole thing about it was everything burned except the things that were valuable. And the wood was gone. What was there before, the big structure, burned down, and the valuables were left. And that's what we're going to talk about today, things that burn and things that don't. Of course, we're going to look at it from the Christian life. Jim read the references from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, we're talking to Christians here. This is not talking about Christians burning eternally. That's the unsaved. Christians don't. This is from the time a Christian becomes born again to the time they go to be with the Lord. That span of time is the time we're going to be talking about today. And we're going to talk about a very important point regarding Christianity that we need to review periodically, I really believe. Now, I enjoyed reviewing this. Every time I go through this portion of Scripture, I learn just a few nuggets more, and so I had a good time, I have to admit. Now, other than 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to look at a couple other references. It's going to be a few in Ephesians. I'm going to look in 1 Peter. I'm going to look in Galatians. I'm going to look in 1 John. And then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 13. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you'd like to turn in your Bibles there, I'll be reading the verse in verse 10, Jim read earlier. He says, according to the grace of God which was given me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, another is building on it, and each man must be careful how he builds upon it. Just previous that, in verse 9, it says, for we are God's fellow workers, or fellow architects. That could be translated. Master architects, and you are God's field, or God's building, or architecture. This is a structure God set up. Now, obviously, he's talking about a metaphor here, a building. Why does he do that? So that people can understand it. The other day, Kathy was relaying an instance to me when she was in the sixth grade art class, and you could tell by the ice in her voice, she hated sixth grade art. Okay, and the teacher wanted them to draw mountains and color them in and things like that. Kathy was from Minnesota, had never seen a mountain in her life. So how was she supposed to know what a mountain looked like? Yet that's what the teacher wanted. That's the idea here. And by the way, she did get it done, etc., and we lived happily ever after. So the apostle, when he's talking about God's building or God's architecture, he's talking about something we can't see. But it's real, very real. We know the things that are seen are temporal, temporary. The things that are not seen is eternal. Right now there's a God's architecture going on, and as born-again believers, we're part of it. And as we go through these verses, we want to take a look and elaborate a little more. So, this I got a three-point outline, and we're celebrating. This is my first three-point outline sermon I've ever done, so we'll see how this works out. Usually I have 2 points or 20 or something like that. The first point is in chapter 3, verse 10. It's right out of the verse there. I, Paul, laid a foundation. Okay? What's he mean by laying a foundation on God's architecture? We can look at Ephesians chapter 2 if you want to turn there, but I'll just go ahead and read this verse. But you are fellow citizens with the saints, are of God's household, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, the whole architecture, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple or shrine or architectural thing. In the Lord, whom also you are built up together with God in the Spirit. The foundation has two important elements in it. It was, number one, built by the apostles and prophets. That's doctrines. That's the mysteries from years past that had never been revealed to any and at any time except to the church. It revealed the idea that born-again believers were new creatures, new creation in Christ. They went through life twofold. They had a spiritual side of them. They had that flesh that was their conveyance through life that they inherited from Adam, the things we always do battle with. When we talk about the doctrines and the mysteries, one of the famous ones is from Ephesians 3. It was revealed to the Apostle Paul these things by God. It has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit, to be specific, that the Gentiles, non-Jews, are fellow members of the body with the Jews, are fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel with the Jews, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. This was a surprising doctrine that the apostle taught. He was teaching something other than the law and the recipients of the law. He was teaching that of the new covenant that we have in Christ Jesus. That gospel, that good news. He mentioned Galatians, for what have you know, brethren, that the gospel which is preached by me is not according to man. This is not a man-made thing. For I neither received it from men, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. These doctrines the apostle received through revelation. Maybe a vision when the Lord set him down, or maybe in a dream and said, this is the information I want to give to the church. This is the foundation of the Christian's belief. The foundation of it. Okay, the second part of the foundation element, we talked about one element. The other is the cornerstone. We'd already mentioned Christ is the cornerstone. In any foundation, there's the first thing down, and everything else goes from there. That's the cornerstone. Now, in this foundation of the doctrines and things like that, Christ, or the Word of God said, Christ is the cornerstone. It's the only cornerstone. Any other form of religion that Christ is not the cornerstone is just news, weather, and sports. It doesn't mean anything. Christ has to be the cornerstone. The foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ the cornerstone. We'll look at 1 Peter chapter 2. And I'll read this verse, and this is reading 4 and 5. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes on him will not be disappointed. This precious value, then, is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected is become the very cornerstone. And going back to Ephesians 20, Christ Jesus himself is the cornerstone, and he was rejected by builders. So, this foundation the apostle is talking about, Christ is the cornerstone and the doctrines are the foundation. We'll look at point two. We're going back to our original verse in chapter 3, verse 10. According to the grace of God which was given me like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. Point two is another is building on the foundation. The foundation is laid. The apostle's gone. The doctrines we find in Scripture are the foundation where we believe, and that's where our lives begin, on that foundation. Christ, the cornerstone, always there. The builder. Another is building upon it. So now we want to look at that word builder. Who's the builder? And what does the builder do? 1 Peter chapter 2, going back to verse 4 through 6, and coming to him, and we just read part of this a minute ago, and coming to him as a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, you born-again believers, also as living stones. Once again, he's using stones as a metaphor. As living spirits, what's happening here, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. Can you see the action is on those that have come to Christ, the living stone? And they, in turn, are being built up. Now, the they here is us, born-again believers, are being built up. There's an action constantly happening to us. The doctrines which are alive are working within us, and we're becoming God's architecture. How long is it going to take to build that shrine? I don't know. But as born-again believers, we're part of it. Constantly being built up. Now, once again, I want to make the point. We are being built up. Because I'm going to be going to a point that just seems like it's doing the opposite of it. And we want to cover that too. Those who are coming to him, Christ, as a living stone, you also, Christians, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house. Christians are being built up. But our text, as you recall, back there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, another is building on it. Did you notice in one phrase, a Christian receives an action, and then in the other is they are doing the action. Now, they both can't be true, can they? Well, the fact of the matter is, it's true. And that's the real kicker. We all, as born-again believers, feel better being built up. But also, we go back to the original verse, it says, we are doing building. Now, just because I say that, it doesn't necessarily mean it's true. I have to back it up with Scripture, right? I'm glad you asked. I've got one. So, how can they be the same? In Ephesians 4, I think this is the third reference from Ephesians, 4, 15, and 16. And if you like to look at it, it's there, but I'll be reading verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up. in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. What that says is our growth continues on, and our growth approaches Christ-likeness. That's what that's saying there. So speaking the truth in love, that's the result of speaking God's word in truth. From whom the whole body, now we're talking about believers here, the whole body, the mystical body, or our congregation, we're talking about born-again believers, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies. You notice the metaphor of the human body with the different joints and all that kind of thing? That's the picture of the congregation. We're using different metaphors. Being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, and then here, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. The body builds itself. It's a self-sustaining thing. We're builders and we're being built. Notice how that smacks of teamwork. It requires a teamwork so that every individual born again believer can expect to be built up, but by the same token has a responsibility to build up others. That's God's design. That's God's architecture. No engineer would ever build a building like this, but God built it, and it's happening, and it's right on schedule. And we can praise the Lord for that. That's what the intricacies of the Scripture point out. So it sees we're the recipient of wonderful things, the encouragement of other believers, the ministries of other believers. But it also says, as believers, we are responsible for other believers too. It goes both ways. Now you know, and I'm not kidding anybody here, one of them is more popular than the other. Let's be honest. Jay's not here. Nobody will know. We like to be built up by others. But the idea of taking on a responsibility and building up another person, that ain't so much fun. We got our own thing to do, you know. And really, do we really care? Well, the Bible says it's happening. So it's that's God's plan. So, we need to keep that point in mind. The whole body, it's the body of Christ, according to the proper working of each individual part, is building up itself in love. Therefore, those who are being built up, the recipient of the action, and those who do the building are the same. Those are the people who Christ calls brethren. He calls brethren people who look after his family. People who take on the responsibility of laying down their lives for God's family. Did you notice most of us have two families? We have an earthly family, and we look after that family. God has a spiritual family, and he wants his children to look after that family. And that's the nucleus of the entire scripture we're looking at today. So during our time on earth, we can expect to be built up, but we also can expect the responsibility of building up others. And we build up others in various ways. I'm going to talk about it a little bit later in a few more minutes. But we're going to go to point three, going back to our original verse, 1 Corinthians 3:10, according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master architect or builder, I laid a foundation. We talked about that. Another is building on it. We talked about that. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. So there's a little bit of red flag. Has to be careful how he builds on that foundation that Christ is the cornerstone. Verse 11, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid in Christ Jesus. That's the only foundation. Christ the cornerstone, that foundation, that's a done deal. We might have 10 million religions on the planet at one time. That's the one God cares about. The rest, nothing. Okay? Verse 12 and 13. Now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. So, anything a person does after they're born again for the congregation is one of those categories. Something that burns or something that don't. That's basically it. Now, that's a pretty simple formula. You know. So the whole idea is maybe we want to consider organizing our lives to be active in things that don't burn. So the example, gold, silver, precious stones, work that does not burn. Or wood, hay, straw, work that burns. We could go back into Ephesians 4 and say, the proper working of each individual part causes the growth of the body in building up itself in love. We started out that reference by saying, but speaking the truth in love, this is agape love, we ended up that portion, builds up itself in love. We know the key ingredient of the work is love. That love is God's love. It's defined in 1 John, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. We have come to know and have believed that love which God has for us, God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. So, God is love, and God abides in us. That agape love is inside of born-again believers. It's ready to come out. And God wants us to use it in building up each other. That's the key ingredient in ministering to one another, doing it in love. That's an important concept. Another thing we have inside of us, and it's over in 1 John, it talks about sinning and things like that. It says, his or God's seed abides in him. What does that really mean? Inside of every born-again believer is God's seed. Did you notice that every one of you, according to the flesh, you have the seed of your predecessors? You might have characteristics of somebody that lived 500 years before you. That line, that bloodline comes down. As born-again believers, we have a spiritual bloodline from the Creator of the universe. And it's there, inside of you. So you have the seed of God within you. You have the love of God within you. And God says, now I want you to look after my children. That's what this scripture is saying. But he says, I want you to do it in love. Sometimes that ain't easy. Because we got a lot of things going on in our lives. Now when we talk about gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, it says the day will show it. There's going to be a day, and that which is not noticed is going to be noticed. I firmly believe this is the judgment seat of Christ, where our lives will be flashed before us, and we'll find out what we did for God's people in love and what we did not do for God's people in love. So it boils down to this, and we're building God's architecture. It's an ongoing thing. That's the love that God wants to use in his foundation. We used to have a lot of fun when we were kids. I was a kid once. In our young people's group, we used to anything anybody did, we'd say, that's wood, hay, and stubble. Now, we use King James Bible, so we use the word stubble. That was really a dumb thing to do. That's what we were saying. We had no idea in what this text meant, but it was fun to be able to criticize and pass judgment on another kid. And so that's what we used to do. However, the reality of the thing is every Christian is going to have an open house. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may be recompensed for the deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or evil. This is for Christians alone. Salvation has been decided. Eternity has been decided. The thing that's going to be revealed is what we did from the time of our salvation till the time we went to be with the Lord. That span of time, no matter how long it is. And if we did it in love or did not do it in love. Because God wants his church built up. That's his design. It didn't come from me. It came from God himself. A lot of times people will say, well, Ron said, well, no, Ron didn't say that. God said it. I'm just passing on what God said. Okay. It'll be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. And verses 14 and 15, if any man's work which he has built upon it remains, he'll receive a reward. If it's gold, precious stones, silver, etc., he'll receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he'll suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so is through fire. In other words, they're not going to lose their salvation. It's the whole idea is the testing of what they did while they were on this planet. Basically, when we were born again, that instant, we became no earthly good. Our citizenship went from earth to heaven, just like that. We became the old creation to the new creation. And then God gave us new responsibilities. This is not for the world. This is born again believers. This is our responsibility. And he says, now, I want you to build my holy shrine. Like living stones, building up this holy shrine. Okay. I remember, it's quite a few years back, my son, when he was in the Army, he was in Desert Shield, then in Desert Storm, and then he went into Kuwait. And the things he mentioned was, and maybe you recall from years back, when the Iraqi army pulled out, they set the oil wells on fire in Kuwait. And he said you'd go out at night, and in every direction, it was burning. Burning oil wells. And you know, it took them a long time to get those fires out. That oil burnt, things like that. He says it was such an awesome sight. Just night and day, those fires were going on and on and on. What a sight he had. That's the idea with the being revealed with fire. That fire is going to do some testings. We as Christians are workers, the whole body, as living stones were being built up. And it has to be the proper working of each individual part. And the key factor is love. Each man's work. Each born-again believer's work. How about grudgingly, okay, I'll do it, but there's no love. Whew, gone. No love. They did the job as born-again believers. No love. Might as well have not done it. Might as well have stayed home and watched Oprah. By the way, do people still watch Oprah?
No.
I don't know. Okay. You can see how far I am out of it. Oh, I guess I'll have to do it. No love. Flash. Gone. Okay. Okay. I know one thing. It's not going to be done without me. No love. Burn, baby, burn. It's gone. You might as well not have done it. That's what God's Word's telling us. Notice the key ingredient is love. How about right now? You could look at me. 1 Corinthians 13:1. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, oh man, I'd like to be able to speak like an angel. I can't do it. If I could do that, but didn't have love, poof, It's gone. We might as well watch TV up here. But you know what? I do have a lot of love because I care for everyone. And I want this message to come across so that we can all be the recipients of gold, silver, and precious stones with our lives. And I wanted to study this and pass this information with on. How about giving? Verse 3. If I give my body to be burned, give everything. But if I didn't have love, you guessed it, it's gone. Notice, once again, love is the key ingredient. That love we're talking about is very patient. It's not easily provoked. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. This is the love that God wants building up His family, building up His shrine for His children. He wants His children looked after this way, in love. And each one of us are His children. Each one of us bear the same responsibility of giving to others with love, and we can expect to receive from others with love. One last point. Back in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, note those past builders who are not coming to Him, Christ, as a living stone. We read it from 1 Peter chapter 2, 6 through 8. Behold, and I'm reviewing this, behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in Him will not be disappointed. This precious value, then, is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders, past builders, rejected. Did you know that there was builders prior to you that rejected the cornerstone Christ, that God's plan was for them to build that shrine? They rejected the cornerstone. You didn't. Now it's your responsibility to build it. The stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone and the stone of stumbling and rock of offense. And they stumble because they were disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were appointed. Here's the opportunity we have. Our lives are now. It's never going to get any better than now. The responsibility has never changed in 2,000 years. I think we need to review it periodically, understand it, and get before the Lord on it, and understand our responsibilities. Verse 15, if any man's work is burned up, he'll suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so through fire. This is not a question of salvation. This is a question of those things we'll receive a reward for while we walk this planet. I'm going to ask Randy to come up here and take the building to serve offering. And in closing, I want to thank you for your kind attention. I hope this has been an encouragement to you. Once again, I'm repeating, I enjoyed studying this, and periodically I have to remind myself of my responsibilities. That's why we come to church. Remember, the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as some do. Forsaking ourselves, we lose the opportunity to build up another. We come here to be built up and to be built up another. Thank you very much. Randy?